All right, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and welcome in our next guest. The new edition of Ducks Illustrated is at a newsstand near you. It's called Catching On, with a picture of D'Amador Lenore trying to guard, I guess that's Juwan Johnson, making a circus catch for his touchdown in the corner of the end zone. We welcome in the man who wears many, many a hat for Ducks Illustrated. Jerry Thompson joins us. JT, a good day to you, sir. What's up?
How you doing? I'm sitting here in the shadow of Mount Shasta, majestic Mount Shasta, on the way to California. But, yeah, Juwan Johnson made an impact, I think, because I was talking to people. There was a Johnson-Johnson trade. Michael Johnson's son went to Penn State, and now there, of course, Michael gone, replaced by Juwan Bolknight as the wide receiver coach, and we get Juwan Johnson in return from Penn State. How about that?
I think that's a fair deal. He looks like a beast, obviously a one-year beast. But two general things. First, as always, the magazine is out, and where could folks pick it up?
You get it for free at your local Dairy Marts, Spy Marts, and UVO Duck stores.
Now, one thing, as somebody who has followed Oregon football since before they played at Autzen Stadium, you've seen, and every once in a while I like to get your angle as to where this program was, then where it landed, now where it is now. When you think about 35,000 people coming out to watch a practice, and I get there's a lot more, you know, it's kind of a celebration of the program, honoring the military. It's an important fundraiser for the great folks at Food for Lane County. But I went looking, it wasn't that long ago. It was 1996 that there was about 37,000 for Cal in a Pac-10 game. Do you ever take a moment to be like, my goodness gracious, where have we come?
Yes, yes. From the days of Hayward Field, when there was capacity was 25,000. Certainly not that many showed up for a spring game. Actually, when we started Ducks Illustrated, do you remember, we went up to Portland for a spring game at Multnomah Stadium or Civic Club. It was about 10 to 12,000. And it kind of continued that way until Chip Kelly came in, and he combined the great optimism with the spread offense and beating teams by 40 or 50 points by honoring the military, and that was like the perfect, seems like a perfect thing to get a lot more people out. And Coach Cristobal, as I'm glad to see, is even want to make this a bigger spectacle in the future. So everything seems to be going right with the Ducks football, but we won't know until we play Auburn, because if you recall, David Davis was on the front of the magazine the last spring game last year, and now he's at the back.
Yeah.
So the spring doesn't always tell us a lot because we don't open up the whole playbook. But there are some encouraging things, and yes, to answer your question, it was a great game, and it has become, like you put out or you pointed out in your article, Hope Springs Eternal, we might have outdrawn every Pac-12 team in their spring game combined.
I know, it's crazy. You know, you mentioned Coach Cristobal, who has really embraced a lot.
Yeah.
And you had a special section about, you know, his commentary. And I listened to him post-game, what he had to say. He sees this more as just the next step rather than a standalone event. But from what you wrote, what was kind of his focus, and how pleased was he with how things went?
Well, the big question mark in the past has been, how are we going to do if Justin Herbert gets hurt for a few games or is out? And Cristobal said that he believes Tyler Shuck, as the redshirt freshman, has stabilized the quarterback position. So, and by many who saw him play, including your friend and mine, Ken Woody, I think we all agree that we're in good hands. Hope that that doesn't happen, but I think that's one of the big takeaways from the spring game. I think the wide receivers have been coached well, up a little bit, and there's such a lot, so much talent there. Excuse my grammar there. So much talent. The freshmen like Micah Pittman, Josh Delgado, and then we got the senior transfer, Jalen Johnson. And those are backing up the three starters who also seem to be holding on to the ball pretty well.
Yeah, felt like, and another thing I wanted to ask you, you know, historically having such a good angle and such a view of this program through your lens, you know, I'm thinking about when Haloti Ngata got here as a five-star and Jonathan Stewart arrived here. They just look different. And whether it be Pittman or some of the defensive backs, obviously Kayvon Thibodeau, it seems like Coach Cristobal and his staff have really taken the baton. Just the young guys, they just look different. They just look already. There's kind of whether the way they conduct themselves, their speed, their athleticism, their skill set. It's like you look at them and you're like, yeah, I buy them as Pac-12 players.
Yes, you're right. And, of course, that's the mentality of Coach Cristobal is that he will start freshmen if they have the physical tools and the mental and do their work in the classroom. He's not putting, there's no spot, although maybe Justin Herbert might be a little bit reserved. But beyond that, you're seeing a lot of people get a chance to play. And, of course, depth is so important in football. You got to be too deep with all the scrapes and all the injuries that happen during a season. I was going to mention, as far as stabilizing the quarterback, also I think the running game should be better with Cyrus Abidi-Lukio, the 215-pound. We didn't have that last year. Someone with, he has a more breakaway speed than he had last year, so he's developed. And Cristobal is really high on him, too.
And by the way, some great shots. I mean, you know, Fouts, Gary Zimmerman, you're talking Hall of Famers. The trio of quarterbacks that you had there in Dennis Dixon and Marcus with Masoli. So once again, you know, while the writing is great, really well done on the illustrated parts. So, I mean, great shots in there.
And speaking of how far the program's come, when Dan Fouts came here, I was manager of the football freshman team. There was no not like 4 years like it is now. You had a separate freshman team who couldn't play varsity ball.
Right.
Dan Fouts was the backup quarterback to a guy named Walt Reynolds. I'm sure you don't know who Walt Reynolds is.
I don't.
But the program has shown that you can come in and not be, I mean, you know, Fouts was only offered one scholarship in the back eight, then it was to Oregon. And look what happened. Well, first, as you pointed out, first quarterback in NFL throw for 4,000 yards. It was good to see him. He's always been supportive of the program, and it's nice to see. And then just consider all the talent that was on that field, quarterback with Fouts, Chris Miller, Marcus Mariota, Dennis Dixon, Jeremiah Masoli, Jason Fife, all these guys. That was just really great to see them all come back and support the team.
No, I think that speaks volumes about where this current coach is, because sometimes you got a sense that it wasn't an all-welcoming circumstance. But beyond football, obviously, the tumultuous offseason for the softball team. And you wrote about that Coach Lombardi got her first Pac-12 series win. But what went on that you were kind of shining a spotlight on some questionable umpiring?
Well, Jordan Dale, who was the Pac-12 Pitcher of the Year last week. Jordan Dale was asked to pitch all three games, and let me start over. I'm drugged up here. I got a little cold going on.
All right.
Anyway, Jordan Dale won the first two games against Cal. Shut him out. Okay, so Coach Lombardi started Kruger, and there's some errors and different things happened, but the Ducks could have fought back, but Haley Cruz came in and pitched, and the umpire was calling her for illegal pitches, while the Cal pitcher was obviously making illegal pitches. And also, here's the big one, I'm sorry, is that with the bases loaded, Cal had a 2-0 lead, I think it was, and the bunt, cowgirl bunted with the bases loaded, and she was clearly outside the batter's box, which would have been an automatic out. Instead, the bunt is not fielded well, gets thrown into right field, in foul territory, and 2 runs score. And, I mean, Coach Lombardi, they could have a game under protest. That certainly was a reason, besides the pitching situation where ours is penalized and theirs wasn't. So the home court advantage or home field advantage is not always something you can depend on.
And lastly, obviously off of the first ever Final Four run, the women, we know how well positioned they are for another run, hopefully culminating in New Orleans this next season. But no resting on their laurels. Looks like Coach Graves and his staff is out there and killing it on the recruiting trail.
Yes, they are, with Sydney Parrish, 6'2" guard, number one guard in the country, ranked by ESPN, and where she's not going to get to play this next season. It's going to be for the season after, when Sabrina and Ruthie will be gone and some of the others. But you got to load up now to keep up with the Joneses. Actually, it's with UCLA that we're keeping up with, because we beat them out for Parrish and 6'4 guard Angela
Dugalic. Yeah.
From the Chicago area. So that was great to beat UCLA and to get these two to come in. And then you've got Satu's sister, who's Naira, who is a freshman. So cupboards aren't going to be bare. And I hear there might be a graduate transfer possibly coming in too. So Coach Graves done an outstanding job, and I'm sure going to the Final Four may have contributed in Parrish and Angela making that final decision. But they got it all going. Great to see.
They sure do. All right, stay safe out there. You might want to limit the intake of NyQuil. Travel
yes.
safe, and we'll catch up with you when you get back to Eugene, JT. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.